Morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the building he's provided for us to come and to worship and praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. As some of you may know, Connie spent last weekend with her children and grandchildren. And after worship last Sunday, I went to join them and spent Sunday night with them, and Connie and I spent a couple of days together, and the weather was just unbelievable. Where we were, it was in the middle and upper 70s and lower 80s, and it was just, you didn't believe that it was December. But if you have any doubt if it's December, just go to the malls and the stores. All the evidence is there, the trees, the ornaments, the fake snow, the wreaths, the garland, the lights. Christmas decorations are everywhere, and many of you, I'm sure, have already decorated your homes. But of all the decorations in your house, which one is the most important to you? Some say the tree is the most important decoration to them. Some say it's a wreath that they made, or maybe their mom or grandmother made. It hangs on the door. Some say it's the star or the angel that goes on top of the tree, that it was handmade by a loved one or a friend. Or it may be something else. But there's another decoration about which I wish to talk this morning. And from God's perspective, it is the most important decoration of all. And I wonder if you know what it is. I'll give you some hints. First, it's invisible. Second, it's visible. And third, God wishes for it to be displayed all throughout the year. Now imagine going to the mall and standing in line with your child or grandchild to get his and her picture taken with Santa Claus. And you get to the end of the line, and there is not a large man in a red suit with a white beard. The person you see is a scrawny man with a leathery face and a long, messy, scraggly Middle Eastern beard. And he's wearing some kind of animal skin, and you learn later that it's camel hair. He is eating grasshoppers and honey. Meet John the Baptist, the man that Jesus called the greatest prophet of them all. This morning we shall look very briefly at his life and listen to his message, and then learn more about this most important decoration that God wants each and every one of us to have. Our text this second Sunday of Advent comes from Matthew, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12, and I invite you, as usual, to follow along in your Bible or one in the pew rack in front of you as I read Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. This third chapter of Matthew informs us that John the Baptist was living in the desert of Judea by the Jordan River. He was a man of God, and his message was simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus the Messiah was coming, and the Savior of all nations would take away the sins of each and every one of us. The text teaches us hundreds of years before Matthew wrote his gospel that Isaiah prophesied John the Baptist was coming. And John's message of repentance was, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. We are to make straight paths in our heart and in our life. Repentance is a radical road construction which takes place inside of us. Our thoughts, our desires, and our feelings, all of these tend to be crooked inside of us, to be wandering off the straight path. Spiritual potholes are everywhere in our soul. Our love fluctuates up and down for God. Repent, John warns us. Make straight the paths for him. Now, this is a reference to a custom in Old Testament days, that before a king would visit a town, radical road construction would take place. If there were bumps, if there were hills, little mounds in the road, they would be leveled out. If there were potholes, they would be filled in. If the road was crooked, it would be straightened. And once the road was smooth and straight, the king would be allowed to come to town. It would be ready for him. And John is saying, make straight the feelings, desires, and wants within yourself, within your soul, within your heart, so that you will be ready to receive the king. Of all the Christmas decorations we can possess, the most important one in God's mind is repentance. It is invisible because it is a change which occurs inside of us. And John was illustrating this change with his lifestyle. He wore clothes made of camel's hair, which was the dress for those who were poor. His leather belt was considered to be cheap and inexpensive. The grasshopper and honey diet was the diet of the poor and underprivileged. This man, John, lived in the desert. He did not live in a house. Do you see the point that John is trying to make with his life? He's saying, what I am doing on the outside, I want you to do on the inside. Get rid of your love for material things, for stuff. Get rid of your pride. Be someone who is humble, someone who is focused on spiritual things, someone who is focused on worshiping God and serving others. But then the Pharisees and the Sadducees arrive where John was baptizing people. And he tells these Jewish leaders to produce fruit in keeping with their with repentance. In other words, act like a child of God. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees claimed to be so humble. They claimed to be so spiritual. Yet their actions and words showed them to be proud and materialistic. And John compared them to a fruit tree, and he tells them the axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. John condemned the Pharisees and Sadducees because they would not change. They would not repent. They would do and say things to make themselves appear pious and spiritual. Yet there was no real change in their hearts and in their life. And they were proud and they were materialistic and they liked being that way. Today we struggle with that lifestyle also. It's easy to be humble and spiritual. It's easy to attend church. It's easy to smile and to shake hands. And it's easy to discuss the real spirit of and real meaning of Christmas. And it's easy to frown and nod affirmatively when people talk about pride and materialism. But what type of religion are many people seeking today? Many are looking for a religion which makes them feel good about themselves. Turn on the TV anytime, day or night, and you'll find evangelists and pastors of mega churches. And I'm not saying all, I'm not painting them all with the same brush, but you can tell the difference. The ones that are saying, you know, everything's lovely, you know, do what you want to do, God loves you, you know, you can be wealthy, and certainly you can, but they are preaching a feel-good religion, as it's known to many. They are not talking about what Christianity and John the Baptist is all about. John the Baptist is not standing in the desert telling everyone to smile because God loves you just the way you are. And then everyone goes from the desert and goes back home and feels good about themselves. John the Baptist is telling you to change. He's telling us to change, to stop being as you are, to start acting as you normally do, to be different, to repent. Yet we do not like to hear this type of teaching and preaching. We are the Pharisees of today, the Sadducees of today, which John condemned in the desert. We are the people who act pious and religious, but deep down inside like being materialistic and proud. And that's how many will continue to be, regardless of the message that they hear. And God, John condemns us in these verses and warns us that the fire of God's wrath is coming our way. But there is good news. The good news is we can repent. We can act as the people did in verse 6 of our text. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. These people confessed their materialism, confessed their pride. They were forgiven by God by the baptisms that John was performing. And in the same way, we can confess our sins here today. We can ask for God's forgiveness. God completely forgives us of our pride and our materialism and our hesitancy to repent and truly change our lives. He forgives us of all of that. He forgives us because of the one who would come after John the Baptist. John said, "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry." John was powerful, yet humble. He was not obsessed with materialistic things, but with spiritual matters. The one who was coming after John, of course, was Jesus Christ. He was human, but the very Son of God. He lived perfectly and was crucified on the cross to take away our sins. He was raised from the dead, just as we memorialized in our observance of the Lord's Supper ordinance today. But just as John baptized people for the forgiveness of sins, so Jesus has baptized those of us who has accepted him as Lord and Savior. Oh, we may have been baptized by a pastor or someone else, but when the baptism happened, the Holy Spirit, Jesus was there through the Holy Spirit and was baptizing us, forgiving us, and washing away all of our sins. When we leave this sanctuary today, we can walk with the same comfort those people felt when they were baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. They walked away knowing their sins were forgiven. They walked away empowered to make real changes in their lives. We have the exact same comfort these people had, perhaps even more because we know how Jesus took away our sins. How he had to die on the cross for us to be forgiven. And like those people, we have been given strength to make real changes, to straighten out those feelings and wants and desires and love in our heart and in our soul, so that they will be ready for the King to come to us. They won't be all crooked up inside of us. And of all the decorations we have this Christmas, repentance is the most important one to possess. It's invisible because it first takes place in our heart. The Holy Spirit changes us through the Word and through baptism. And yet it is visible because we show through the Holy Spirit our repentance in our own life. And unlike other Christmas decorations, repentance is one we display all year round. And we should display it gladly. So as we think of this time of presents and gifts and lights and decorations and all those things that we enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with that. But remember that materialism and pride can destroy everything we have. And if that's part of your lifestyle today, is accumulating stuff and being proud and not associating with the people who wear the camel hair clothes, who eat the locusts and the honey, then you need that most important decoration of all. You need to repent, to have repentance in your heart, to go to God, confess your sins, and say, I want to enjoy this season of your Son's birth, and I want to be empowered to help others enjoy it, not through the accumulation of gifts, but through helping others and having my sins forgiven. Pray with me. We pray, O Lord, give us the heart of John the Baptist, a heart of repentance, a heart humble and spiritual, a heart prepared to welcome you, and a heart which shows those characteristics by the way we live our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't repented of your sins, but the Holy Spirit has been tugging at your heart today, and you would like to become a child of God and know that you can have the most important decoration of all, all year round. We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 91, Silent Night, Holy Night.